listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello, my name is Joel Kassam and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue here on 2SER 107.3 on 2SER.com, and if you look hard enough, you can even find it on iTunes. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is a show where a very special guest joins me in the studio, picks the tracks, and discusses why they chose those songs. I actually do nothing. It's great. All right, let's see who we've got this week. My guest today is a classically trained soprano, having graduated from the Sydney Conservatorium of Music. She is a recipient of the very prestigious Helen Myers Vocal Scholarship for Vocal Excellence, as well as a significant scholarship from an unknown person for seven successive years. Having been a finalist in the Sydney Estedford Opera Awards and won the People's Choice Award in the World Competition, a singer, actor and dancer, or as I like to call her, a triple threat, I'm very happy to say I'm joined by the highly talented Bridget Patterson.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you, Bridget?
What an introduction. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Quite good, thanks. Let's start at the beginning. Where did you grow up and what got you started in singing?
Yeah, so I grew up in the western suburbs, in a little town called Penrith, my hometown. And we lived out there, my parents, my sister and I, for a good many years before they moved up to Warragamba, or Silverdale, sorry, I should say. And what got me started? I've always loved the larger-than-life element to opera. And I remember I was given a lot of CDs by an elderly gentleman when I was very young, and it was the voice of Maria Callas. And I became obsessed with this sound. And I remember going to see Madame Butterfly. That was my first opera at the Sydney Opera House, and just being blown away by the costumes, the orchestra, but this sound that the human voice could make, it just blew my mind. And that really got me started, I think.
Yeah, do you remember how old you were around that time?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I think 11 or 12.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so shortly after, I think I took up lessons at the Joan Sutherland Centre.
Right.
So, yeah, I was keen.
Yeah, very keen. Straight into it, no mucking around.
No.
Who did you work with when you first started? Did you have some sort of training when you were younger, or...?
I worked with a fabulous lady, Kerry O'Connor Brown, at the Joan Sutherland Centre, and her husband, Trevor Brown. So they kind of gave me a good foundation for, you know, singing, classical technique. And then I've really worked with some wonderful people. I got onto a lady, Kim Parrish, and Jeremy Powell, who were able to teach me enough to get me into the conservatorium. So I've been really fortunate with good teachers who really know their craft and are passionate about passing it on. And I'm really appreciative, yeah, of all of that they've done for me.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So you studied at the Con for how long?
I was there a good long while, Joel.
Yeah.
I did 4 years for my Bachelor of Music, where I majored in performance in classical voice. And then I went on and did the Advanced Diploma of Opera for 3 years. So 7 years in total.
Okay.
So a good chunk of my life.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Was that the 7 years that was paid for by a unknown person?
No. Yes, it was during the conservatorium that I was very, very blessed to have an anonymous donor. So that was sort of like I paid for my own way through university, but it was kind of like an added bonus, really. Singing lessons, dance lessons, diction coachings, all of which really came from that donor. So to this day, I'm really thankful and very blessed for their contribution to my life.
Yeah, but you literally don't have any idea who they are, do you?
No, I don't.
And you were saying just before that you write to them and they'll write back and they don't sign it or anything. They're still unknown.
Yeah.
And they'll come to shows and see you, but that's amazing.
It
Someone's sitting in the crowd who's giving you money who won't come up and say, yeah, it's me.
I know. I would love to. If they're listening, I would love to meet you one day and thank you in person. But I hope that they're proud of what I'm doing. I hope that, I don't know. It's overwhelming.
To give you that much money, you'd have to think they are very proud of what you're doing and obviously really love what you're doing.
Yeah. They no longer, I should say, they no longer sponsor me. But for a long time, they did. So, really fortunate, really blessed.
That's great. So you've been performing for quite some time now. What shows have we seen you in?
My most recent show that I was in was actually the first one with Opera Australia, and I was in the chorus of Carmen, the opera on the harbour, which was incredible.
Yeah.
And just thinking about it now brings a huge smile to my face. I love the opera Carmen, the music of Bizet, and it was really an extravaganza on the harbour.
It was quite a big show, wasn't it? It ran for quite some time.
Yeah, it was dancing involved in this. Lots of high-intensity movement and intense singing, you know. Yeah. So, and I was really lucky enough to be on stage with a lot of my good friends that I went to the conservatorium with.
Well,
so
handy.
We just had a ball. Yeah, it was really great.
That's so cool. You also sung over in Perth where you had quite a career highlight.
That was incredible. That was for the Hans Zimmer tour earlier this year, not too long ago actually. And I was lucky enough to sing on stage as a soprano. There's about four sopranos, four altos, four tenors, four basses. So kind of like an operatic choir, I guess. And we were singing with Lebo M, who was the voice of Rafiki from The Lion King, which was incredible, you know, to sing The Circle of Life with him. Other artists like Tina Guo, Yolanda Charles, an amazing bassist who's huge internationally. So that was really a big deal for me. And I loved just, you know, trying my hand at different styles and that sort of thing. So it's good fun, yeah.
You're obviously a soprano, mezzo-soprano. Is that right?
Soprano. Or? I actually trained for about 6 years as a mezzo.
Okay.
And then that wasn't the path for me. And I started to sing soprano repertoire. I started to sort of change up.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to ask. How do you find out what your range is? How does that come about? Is it you want to be a soprano or...?
Do you know what? It's funny. Having worked... I mean, mezzos are actually very rare. And if you are a mezzo, you have a distinct quality to your voice. There's a timbre there that is not soprano-like, you know, and a range as well. I mean, most mezzos can sing the same range as sopranos, but it's not the tessitura that they like to sing in. It's not comfortable for them. But I think part of me for such a long time really wanted to be a mezzo. So I love playing boys. Like, there are lots of pants roles in mezzo land. I played Cherubino in The Marriage of Figaro and I loved it, you know. So I remember thinking, this just doesn't feel right for my voice, though. It was just, I was really pushing a lot to make the sound, and it wasn't organic and natural. So I kind of thought, Bridget, it's time. So
it's time to change
and time to look at soprano repertoire and move the voice.
Lovely. Well, that's it. Okay. Now you've answered my question. I really never knew how you got to choose your style. There you go.
It really chooses you. I think the voice will tell you what you are.
Cool. Bridget, let's have a listen to your first song. It's going to be your old song. What have you chosen for us today?
I've chosen O Mio Bambino Caro from Gianni Schicchi by Puccini. And this is an opera he wrote in 1918. It's actually a part of a trio of operas, Il Trittico. And this is the comedic opera. And Loretta basically sings this aria after tensions between her father and Renuccio, the boy she loves, reach breaking point, and it threatens to separate her from her love.
Thank you.
a very lovely piece there. Bridget, can you please tell us who that was, because I cannot pronounce any of that stuff.
That was the one and only Maria Callas, the lady who started it all for me. That voice is just, oh, makes me emotional just hearing her sound. But, yeah, very special piece. That was my first aria, I think, that I sang when I was about 12, so that would have been funny.
Yeah? That sounds pretty tough for a 12-year-old.
Yes.
That's some big notes.
It would have been.
Okay, well done. Now, you started out as an opera singer, as we just spoke about before, and then you moved into musical theatre. How did that come about, and do you have a favourite? Do you prefer to do opera or musical theatre, or is it...
See, Joel, I haven't done a professional musical theatre show yet, but okay. That is my goal. That is my current goal. I did a amateur production of Sweeney Todd when I was in university. I think it was with SUMS, Sydney University Musical Society, and I played the Beggar Woman. And that was really the catalyst, I think, now that I look back, for me wanting to make the change. I love music theatre because you really, it is triple threat. You've got to dance, you've got to engage with the audience in your acting and vocally as well, to get that lovely speech level singing too. So it's such a huge challenge for me, that I'm getting on top of, which is exciting. Opera, it will always be my home. You know, I love the grandeur of it. It's just so majestic and big and dramatic, and it's so me.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that answer your question? I've forgotten your question.
It does. Oh, it doesn't. So did I. You know, you've got to do a lot more acting in theatre. How do you find that, or how have you found trying to change into that?
Yeah. It's all through my voice. I work with two fabulous women, Beth Daly and Penny Martin, who are renowned in the music theatre industry and dance industry, sorry, I should say. And it's really a holistic sort of game. It's getting it in the body. It's getting it in the speech, so that when you transfer it to the voice, into your singing tone, it's just there. It's not like I really struggled with opera at times because I felt like I'd be singing an aria and then I'd come out of it and then I could act. But it never kind of gelled together. So the amalgamation of the two really, for me, has been a challenge. But it's really fulfilling when you get it together and
yeah.
Things work organically.
Yeah. The newest addition to your repertoire is dancing.
Yes.
What got you into that?
Oh, I love it. gosh, you know what? I remember when I said to myself, "Okay, girl, if you're going to go and do music theatre, you need to move." And I'm a really gung ho, all or nothing sort of person. So I thought, right, I need to go and seek out an amazing professional to teach me how to move. And I started tap dancing with Penny Martin, and doing basic theatre jazz. And we're really getting somewhere. You know, I do my pas de bourrées and ball changes, and it's amazing. So it's only probably now in the auditions that I'm starting to pick up Corey quicker, and things are starting to move. So it's really been worth my time.
Yeah.
And... yeah, it's great fun.
Yeah, you
it's
obviously really, really enjoy fun. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one of the productions, actually, that really spurred me on to do it was Anything Goes with Carolyn O'Connor, which was about two years ago at the Opera House. And, I mean, Carolyn O'Connor is a tour de force, but to see her dancing like that and to see the ensemble behind her dancing to Anything Goes, and I can actually tap dance to the 1984 version of that, so yeah, it's that really inspired me.
That's fantastic. Now I think you were saying before that your love for musical theatre and Shakespeare came from your love of English TV shows.
Oh yeah, I love the BBC.
But how is that possible? I mean, don't get me wrong, The Bard and BBC sort of go hand in hand, but comedy, how did it...
Yeah, I mean, when I was a little girl, my dad would always be watching Fawlty Towers and Monty Python, you know, John Cleese, Michael Crawford in Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. I love, I mean, my idol is Patricia Routledge from Keeping Up Appearances. I just think she is the queen of farce. And I guess I just watched, I love physical comedy. I love slapstick. I find it really clever. And yeah, I think that's where it came from for me. Vicar of Dibley, I love Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders, all that sort of stuff. I'm really love it.
Yeah, so. And I have to agree. BBC, I mean, the English comedy is... Yeah. It's so similar to ours, where it's quite different to the American.
That's right. That's and right. We still get it on that wavelength, yeah. I think, as Aussies and yeah. that colonial history we have.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot funnier. Now, I mentioned earlier you won a Helen Myers Vocal Scholarship.
Yeah, that was pretty early on in my days at the conservatorium. They have sort of, everyone sort of gets some sort of a scholarship when we enter. And I had that one for a few years. Probably wasn't as substantial as my other patron, but it was still helped me enormously.
Yeah, and definitely.
Very thankful to her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I'm joined today by Triple Threat Bridget Patterson, who is an actor, singer and dancer. She's choosing our songs today. And now it's time for your new song. What have you gone with?
Well, I've gone for my new song as in New Wave, and I love David Bowie. I think he's a huge part of that sort of movement in music in the 80s, and I've chosen Under Pressure. And this song for me, there's something about it. It's that bass line, I think. It's the vocals from Freddie Mercury, you know, because, of course, Queen and David Bowie collaborated on this one together. 1981, I think it is, from Queen's album Hot Space. And this is my go-to song whenever I've got an opening night or an exercise regime that I have to get done that day, I get this track on and it gets me through.
Okay, so here's Queen with David Bowie, Under Pressure.
Yep.
Not featuring Vanilla Ice. one of my personal favourites there, Queen and David Bowie, Under Pressure. Mm-hmm. Of course, not to be mistaken for Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. I'm joined by Bridget Patterson. She is a singer, dancer, actor. I mean, okay, so you do all those things. What do you do when you're not being the triple threat?
Yeah, right. Well, I am working on being a triple threat. Well, for example, I live at North Kuku, which is a beautiful part of the world. I recently moved down from the Blue Mountains, actually, so a bit of a sea change. And we have a lovely beach there, so I run up and down it like a mad thing, which keeps me fit, actually. I mean, obviously, hopefully one day I will get into one of those shows that run eight times a week and that requires incredible stamina. So sort of working myself up for that and into good form for that. I love my British TV, so that takes up a little bit of my time. What else do? I attend dance classes, so all of it kind of does center around that one thing. I love going to the theatre. Mm-hmm. Last week I went and saw Cloud Nine at Sydney Theatre Company, which I highly recommend. It was incredible. Had Harry Greenwood in there, who I'm a little bit obsessed with now, I think, as well as Matthew Backer. A really wonderful piece. And I love going to the opera and seeing live music. Yeah, so yeah. Just all kind of things like that. Bushwalking, swimming. I'm almost always at Kilkill Beach in the water, even in winter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about like a Sunday afternoon? Everything's sort of done for the weekend. You know, you got to get back into it on Monday. What are you going
to
do?
Sunday afternoon has got to be a nice cup of tea with Midsummer Murders, I think.
Okay.
On ABC, so I'm such a dag like that. But I just, I love British crime and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it'd be Midsummer Murders curled up with my cat, Rog.
Okay. You mentioned something just before. I guess people don't really think about it, but to be a singer, especially an opera singer, which is such a big thing, you have to be quite fit, right? You've really got to keep your exercise up because you've got to hold a lot of notes and there's a lot of breathing
that time
techniques.
On stage, it's you've got to be fit to do it, and particularly more so with musicals than opera as well. I think opera is heading that way anyway. Depending on the sort of style of opera, you know, you've got your Wagner and then you've got your lighter, more comic type operas. But music theatre, you know, they're intense, those dance routines, and anything goes that we were talking about before. That's a big night, you know, on stage. So I just want to be fit enough to be able to get through it.
Yeah, definitely. What plans do you have for the future? Where do you see yourself going?
Gosh, I would love to be in an ensemble, in a company, the next, 24 months, I guess. That's my big aim, and certainly what I'm working towards. Being a freelance singer, you know, sometimes you get some really wonderful opportunities to perform different styles of music, and that's certainly what I've been working on these past couple of years since graduating from the Con, has been cross-training into music theatre, into jazz, into pop, different sort of techniques that take me different places, you know. I'd love the opportunity to be in a legit musical, you know, something like My Fair Lady or Rodgers and Hammerstein. But also the challenge would be for me a more modern musical as well. That'd be interesting. In terms of artistically, I guess I just want to put myself out there more and really go for it. I think I'm at that stage in my life where it's time, you know, it's time to let's do it.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's time.
Good luck with it all.
Thank you.
How does one get into the theatre? Is it cold calling? Do you send out some sort of CV? How does it work? How do you get into a show?
Yeah, I'm really lucky in that I have a really wonderful agent. And I think certainly for music theatre, you really need an agent. Otherwise, you just don't know what's going on out there. And I was really lucky because our dance teacher at the conservatorium, the lovely Olivia Ansell, actually set me up with my agent, and she put me on to Wendy Richards, who I'm with now. And so you get your casting brief, you say, yes, I'd like to be put forward for whatever role it is, and hopefully they can set you up with that.
Okay.
Go and do your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're also a teacher.
Yes,
How do you find that? You enjoying that?
I do enjoy it. When I'm not performing, I'm teaching. It's a really fulfilling role, and I think it's really important education. And having worked with a lot of wonderful people myself, I certainly hope that I am doing the right thing by my students. I think I am anyway, and I hope I'm inspiring them and making them better performers and people and making them think about the world. A lot of the people I work with are children, so it's important to instill in them the right techniques and the right ideas and concepts about music and about vocal production and about engaging with your imagination. So I am quite passionate about that, and it's an important role.
Yeah, you sound very passionate.
Mm.
Are these kids, are they training to be opera singers?
No, some of my children, most of them are singing music theatre sort of stuff. And for some of them, it's having the confidence to get up and speak in front of their class or to get in front of an assembly and sing a song, you know, so it's quite simple sort of basic things, but it's really fulfilling when you see the penny drop and they can comprehend a concept that you're trying to communicate to them.
Yeah.
So that's fulfilling.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned earlier that you made your debut with Opera Australia this year.
Yeah,
how
I was in
that?
The chorus. That was great. I really loved that opportunity. And I remember getting the email from Opera Australia and just thinking, oh, yes, because I'd worked so hard and on sort of getting my voice sorted, and to have the opportunity to get on stage and to put it to practice was really great for me.
Yeah.
And it was a really physical show. So it was kind of like Carmen the Musical, now that I think about it. You know, there's a lot of dancing, a lot of hammy kind of acting happening up the back there. But it was wonderful fun and really enjoyed that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Let's move on to your borrowed song.
Mm.
What have you gone with?
I've gone with one of my favourite artists of all time, Johnny Cash. Now, this isn't his song. It's actually a cover of the Nine Inch Nails, 1994, I believe. Their song is Hurt. And I chose this piece because I'm a huge fan of Cash, the late Cash. And when I was a little girl, I would always listen to music that my dad was playing or my mum, like Johnny Cash, the Stones, the Beatles, Creedence, all this music that I really love. And I think Johnny Cash has got to be one of the greatest songwriters. And a lot of his music really speaks to me and a lot of people. His storytelling is wonderful. And the film clip for this piece is really a historical document, I think, and always brings a tear to my eye when I see it. So if you haven't seen it, YouTube it. It's really wonderful.
This is Hurt by Johnny Cash.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? my sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end, and you could have it all. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end, and you could have it all. My empire of dirt, I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
A very haunting version of Nine Inch Nails' Hurt there, as performed by the man in black, Johnny Cash. A very good choice, Bridget.
Thank you.
Actually, just quickly, you were just saying that the video, how haunting that is.
Yeah, it is. I read up about it, actually, and Johnny Cash was 71, I think, and they thought, what are we going to do? You know, he's quite frail. What are we going to do for this video clip? And they shot it at his house for most part, with June Carter there as well, and you've got, like, a huge banquet full of lobster and caviar, and there are no diners. There are cracked platinum records, and then at the end there, when they close the piano lid. Oh, very emotional, even just speaking about it. But 3 months after it was filmed, June died, and then 7 months after that, Johnny died. So yeah. Rest your soul.
You're giving me goosebumps. Well done. Now, your most recent performance was, one of your most recent performances, I think, was a little bit different. You did musical
at the ICC?
From a video game?
Yeah, yes. That was, yes. Yeah, it's really cool. As said, being a freelance singer, you get really, some really interesting gigs sometimes. And this one was the Japanese composer Nobuyu Uematsu. I hope I pronounced that correctly, but that was at the lovely ICC, the International Convention Center at Darling Harbour. And it was for Final Fantasy, which is a video game, I believe.
Yeah.
Distant Worlds. So, again, that was kind of like the Hans Zimmer vibe, where it was a massed operatic sound. And we sang some really stunning music that this lovely Japanese composer had composed. And it was really unreal. Like, we had people in costumes turning up. It was a packed event. It was sold out. A huge orchestra. My lovely partner was in the orchestra playing the cello. And it was great fun, though. You know, it was really something else.
Did they show any of the video game? Was it?
They did. Behind us, there was a huge screen. And so we were singing and the orchestra was playing. And it was kind of like a visual extravaganza. It was really great.
That's incredible. Mm. That would have been something to see, without a doubt. Before you do walk out onto stage, do you have any sort of, like, rituals, or is there something you do before you go on? Are you quiet? Are you punching the wall?
What am I doing?
Well, after I've listened to Under Pressure, I really like my yoga. I like to have a calm, focused mind before I get on. I might, if I've got to go on in an accent, I'm talking in my accent and I'm walking around in my character. And the day of the performance, I get up, I'll go for my run. So I do everything normal. Mm-hmm. Everything's just really normal, run-of-the-mill kind of stuff. Have a good brekkie and go through my lines and my moves and that sort of thing. So it's pretty standard, I guess. I'm not superstitious or anything like that. I know a couple of performers who won't wear certain colours and that sort of thing. But I'm pretty down to earth, yeah.
Okay. That's good. Well, that's good to know. What show have you enjoyed doing the most, or what?
Oh, undoubtedly Carmen.
Carmen.
That was my big. I hadn't performed in such a long time, and when I got that gig, I just really reveled in it. And doing that with my friends as well, some of which they're overseas now, so that was their last show. But I loved the dance element of that, and I loved the costumes and everything. I mean, just being on stage every night, rain, hail or shine, mind you, that hander on the harbour. So it's an intense kind of show, but it was so well worth it. And I could have done that all year, you know, even in the winter. I could have done it all year. It was really great.
Was it good crowds every night? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
everyone. Yeah, sometimes it would be pouring with rain. And
people still showed up.
Yeah, they showed up. They've got their ponchos on and we had our ponchos on. And it was, it went off. Yeah.
Well, opera is not dead.
Oh,
let me tell you.
No way.
Is there any show you want to do? What's the one Bridget wants to get into?
Oh, in terms of music theatre, I have always had a dream to sing Mrs. Lovett when I'm a little bit older. I love anything by Sondheim. So Mrs. Lovett from Sweeney Todd. And I would love to be in a production of Into the Woods. Baker's Wife would be another dream role of mine. Yeah. So Sondheim. But I think when I get a little bit older, Reno Sweeney as well, I'd give a good Reno from Anything Goes. So, yeah, that's kind of classic musicals I really like.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, good luck with it all.
Thank you very much.
Bridget Patterson, it has been an absolute pleasure having you come in. Thank you so much. You'll now have to take us out with your blues song.
Yes. Yeah, so I've chosen Carole King's So Far Away, and I'm really excited to see Beautiful the Musical, actually, which is, I think, opening night is sometime in September. So look out for that, everyone. This one for me is blue because I sort of blue as in sadness. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who are overseas, and I miss them a lot. My nan recently passed away, so when I hear this song, I think of her as well. Enjoy.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away. Long ago I reached for you and you're so far away. One more song about moving along the highway. Can't say much of anything that's new. If I could only work this life out to you, but you're so far away. Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to was so far away. Yeah, so far away. Traveling around sure gets me down and lonely. Nothing else to do but close my mind. So far away. Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. And it doesn't help to know you're so far away. Yeah.